Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, and in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace, all through Jesus Christ, our crucified, risen, and reigning Lord. Amen. We have two scripture readings this morning, and the first is from the prophet Ezekiel. It's only one verse, but it's a packed verse. So let's hear from Ezekiel 36, 23. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. And then our gospel reading, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. These are the words of Christ. Pray then in this way, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever.
Thanks be to God.
Ryan Holiday, in his brand new book, Stillness is the Key, says that stillness and quiet is one of the most powerful forces on earth. Stillness is the art and the practice of slowing things down in our lives. Pushing that pause button between the stimulus and our response. It's stillness that clarifies and hones your thinking. It calms your soul, steadies you in the storm. Stillness clears out space for God, for peace and for joy, for all that matters. Stillness, says Ryan Holiday, is the key to everything that matters. Now, composer John Cage was someone who was fascinated by stillness and quiet. When he was in high school in 1928, he was in a speech contest with an audience and judges. And he sought to convince them that the United States needed to institute a national day of quiet. And so he kept pursuing that. And in 1951, He had an opportunity to go into an anechoic chamber, which is the world's most soundproof room at that time. But even in the soundless room, John Cage heard sounds. He heard two sounds, in fact, a high sound and then a low sound. And so after he left the room, he talked to the engineer afterwards, and he discovered the two sounds in the room where they came from. They were from him. Turns out he was listening to his nervous system and also his heart pumping. Stillness helps you listen better. John Cage's most famous composition is entitled 433. Has anyone heard of that composition before 433? Originally, the piece was going to have this title, Silent Prayer. His goal was to create a song that would fit all the formulas for songs in that day, for popular music of the day. So it was about the same length, and I guess the average length of a song back then, 4 minutes, 33 seconds. It could be performed live, or it could be played upon the radio. The only difference was that the composition 433 was a piece composed of uninterrupted silence. His directions were to crank up the volume, enjoy the quiet, and be quiet for 4 minutes and 33 seconds. The song was first performed live by the pianist David Tudor in 1952. You can see him in the picture there. And it was in an open-air concert hall, the Maverick Concert Hall just outside Woodstock, New York, and Tudor went and sat down at the piano. He then closed the keyboard over the piano keys, and then he looked at his stopwatch. In the midst of the 4+ minutes of silence, unheard sounds began to emerge out of the woodwork. Stirring wind could be heard during the first part of the piece. Raindrops pattering on a roof were then heard in the middle. And at the conclusion of the composition, you could hear the sound of footprints and background chatter. After the 4 minutes and 33 seconds, David Tudor stood up from his piano to receive applause. Each time the song is performed, new and different sounds emerge from the silence, never to be repeated again. Some laughed at John Cage, thinking it's just a gimmick. But I think he was onto something, that it's the very heart of this portion of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. You see, reverence involves being quiet, being still before your Maker. Be still and know that I am God, the scriptures say. Hallowed be thy name. It takes us back to creation. In Genesis chapter 2, we read, God blessed the seventh day and he hallowed it because God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. You see, to hallow is to follow. To hallow is to follow God's example, where we too slow down, where we stop, where we listen, where we trust, where we worship. And in that, we find ourselves blessed. This is an important message for us in this day of age. I don't know about you, when someone asks how I'm doing, I always say, I'm busy. I gotta slow down. Invest in rest. Psalm 131 puts it this way, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a child quieted at its mother's breast, like a child that is quieted is my soul. God's name is hallowed when we're still before God and when we're satisfied in God. Hallowed be thy name. It's kind of a tricky word to get our wrap our minds around, isn't it? We almost feel or intuit the word. Even when you say it, you feel a sense of it, that hallowed be thy name. But it's kind of hard to actually know what it means. We don't hear the word hallowed very much, except for when we pray the Lord's Prayer, right? Or at the end of October for Halloween. Well, these days with the decorations, we find out about it in July in the stores. But Halloween is short for Hallows Even, or All Hallows Eve. In fact, today is Sunday the 13th of October. In the Christian calendar, Halloween is the evening before All Saints Day, which is November 1st. And so the noun hallow means saint. And then the verb to hallow means to make holy, to sanctify, to consecrate. To hallow is to set something apart as special and different, where we clear out space in our lives so that holiness can grow from us. As the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. We pray that God would be respected, that God would be honored in me, in us, in the church, and throughout the world. Hallowed be thy name. Or the last verse of the Psalms, the very last, the end of the Psalm says this, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So to hallow God's name is to invite and to let God work through us, to let God shine through us so that we might reflect God to the world for everyone to see, to plead for God to make us holy, to make us more like Christ. Jesus prayed, "Father, glorify thy name." Not my name, but thy name. So rather than us getting the glory, we pray for God to receive all the honor and the glory. Hallowed be thy name. But too many times, Christians, we live life in an ugly way, where we live as if God doesn't exist in the world. We're cruel to each other. Rather than living in love, as the Apostle John encourages us to, we live in hatred. And rather than helping one another, we harm each other. God's name is not hallowed by this. Hallowed be thy name. It's not a polite wish that we pray. It's not some vague hope that we hope can happen somehow, some way. No, hallowed be thy name. It's an imperative. It's a command. It's an order, not a wish. But yet at the same time, it's a command from the Almighty God to us. Be holy as I am holy, says the Lord. Author and Presbyterian Anne Lamott, she writes that all prayers can be boiled down to three words. That's the name of her book. I recommend it. Help, thanks, and wow. Hallowed be thy name. That's a wow prayer. This prayer, it keeps us astonished. It keeps us awake. It keeps us amazed at God and God's grace and God's world that we live in. Praying, hallowed be thy name, it keeps us an open people, an aware people, where we don't flip over the window sign of our soul to closed. Rather, we keep it open to God and to one another. Now, a wow prayer can be offered in many different ways. A wow prayer can be speechless silence. Wow could be a gasp. It could be your jaw dropping. There's a lot of awe in wah. You see, you're in a very thin place when you're in that place of awe and wow. It's a place where the lines between heaven and earth are a little bit blurred. When you're filled with awe and wonder, your breath is taken away. In fact, the wow prayer is not only a breathtaking prayer, but it's a breath-giving prayer. We find ourselves in these moments attuned to glimpses of grace, attuned to the fragility of our lives, and we're fully present, we're reverent, we're mind blown by the miraculous and the mesmerizing. We are receptive to God and to one another. Now, it's interesting. There's some etymologists who think that the word wow is a contraction for I vow. This came home to Anne Lamott when a German friend visited her. She lives in the Bay Area, and they first decided to go to the Golden Gate Bridge. And her friend, when she saw it, she exclaimed, "Wow!" And then she went to Yosemite with her friend. They went on a hike, and as she looked at the waterfalls and the cliffs and the mountains, she said, "Wow, look at this!" You see, the hallowed life sees our relationship with God and others and the world as a sacred vow, as a holy wow, where there's commitment and loyalty and dedication and reverence. Now, in life, there are different kinds of wows. There's lowercase wows, like maybe hearing a young boy yodel in a Walmart on YouTube, okay? And then there's uppercase wows, like after hearing an anthem and you say, "Wow." Or the first time that you traverse across a fjord on a ferry. Or gazing upon the religious art of Marc Chagall. Or the realization that God has forgiven me yet again, and I can forgive myself. Wow. Gerard Manley Hopkins was attuned to this sacred vow, the sacred wow of it all, when he wrote this: "The world is charged with the grandeur of God." See, we're haunted. We're haunted by God's majesty and the fact that we're minuscule in God's presence. And so we end up living life, speaking and living our lives with a hushed reverence. "Hallowed be thy name." Now, in the Jewish culture, a name is so much more than just what people call you, what you go by. Your name is your nature. Your name is your character. It's your personality. It's your reputation in the community. And so just as we want to have our names respected, that it be an honorable name that our family or that we have, we also want God's name to be held in high esteem. God lays his very reputation on the line with us. God risks his good name on us. Wow, that's a responsibility. And so we need prayer, and we turn to God, and we pray, "God, be first in my life. I want you number one." We pray long and we pray out for God to be honored in us individually and collectively in the church and throughout the world, where his sacred name would be respected. In other words, we ask God to help us cultivate a reverent life and a God-infused life. You see, reverence isn't just getting in touch with yourself. It's not just journaling. It's not being a reflective person or even just a spiritual person. Those are good things, but it goes deeper. A reverent life believes and trusts in God. A reverent life knows that this God that we trust in is not just some vague power out there, but this God is a holy God, is a just God, and above all, is a loving God. And so a reverent life is constantly aware and ever mindful that we live in this God's presence. God is everywhere. And so a reverent life is yielded to this God. A reverent life honors not only God, but honors the image of God that is in each and every one of us as God's creation. One scholar described this hallowed, reverenced life this way: as standing in the presence of the pain of the world and kneeling in the presence of the living God and bringing these two together in the name of the crucified and risen Lord. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowing is a yearning in our lives that the world, that my life, that my home, my church, my neighborhood, my city would be unshackled from the bondages of sin and injustice and violence and death and corruption. And so we're a people who pray for, who long for God's holiness to be manifested in us and through us. John Dominic Crossan wrote that God's holiness is all about delivering the endangered, freeing the oppressed, and protecting the impoverished. What God does for us, Emmanuel, we're to do for others in the power of the Holy Spirit. "Be holy as I'm holy," says the living God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen.